Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer. Yes!
Paul touches it.
The doctor
goes to Hart. On Thompson steps right, shoots for the win. A three. He got it.
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary.
Not for us.
Well, that sucked. Like a lot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I am your solemn host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter, producer with Sports Talks of a 90, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. 119-118. You lose to the Kings on a last-second three-point shot by Bielitsa. That's kind of a crushing way to go, especially the ending sequence of that game, Russell Westbrook more or less taking over the game, which we've seen him do a handful of times before. You really did get the best Brook, or maybe even want to call him Clutch Brook, this game. Finished with 34 points, just three rebounds, a little low for him, but that's because PJ Tucker and Clint Capella were absorbing everything that came near them this game. 8 assists, 2 steals. Great shooting night. 13 of 17, 2 of 4 from downtown, 6 of 7 from the charity stripe. Easily Russell Westbrook's best game as a Houston Rocket. And it unfortunately gets wasted in a loss because you couldn't D up the final attempt, the final shot by the Kings to win it. And instead of potentially pushing it to overtime here at home, when the Kings are on the second night of a back-to-back, where you have probably a pretty good shot at beating them. They're running an eight-man rotation as is, and they were really limited by the eight-man rotation because they weren't really playing Yogi Ferrell that much. He only got 11 minutes of burn overall. So really, it was a seven-man rotation on the second night of a back-to-back, missing their two best players, Fox and Bagley, or arguably their two best players, two impactful players. Let's face it, this was a game that the Rockets had no business losing. They were set up to win this game. They were playing with an extra day's rest, coming off of a win Saturday night, a game where you were humming along smoothly, a little close for comfort at times against the Suns, and then you come into this game and you let the Kings bully you. They came in with lackluster energy, let Sacramento get out a small lead in the first quarter, 32-28, but it was one of those games where just from the get-go, you could tell that the Rockets just didn't have that want to in their game. And that's been the case with this team. And maybe we blame it on Mike D'Antoni. Maybe we blame it on James Harden as the face of the team, as the guy, and kind of being the top dog. His mentality kind of bleeds down to the rest of the team. But they've got this it'll work itself out attitude, or everything's going to be just fine. I mean, every time you hear Mike D'Antoni talk in a press conference, he's like, you know, we just didn't play with enough energy, didn't get into their body enough, didn't do that, didn't do enough of this, didn't do enough of that. And at the end of the day, when is there more accountability besides just trying harder? Because the frustrating part is, and this is the part that is, I'm sure, frustrating to every single one of you listening right now, when this team tries and competes hard, if they still lose games, it doesn't feel bad like this loss does. But it feels like you weren't competing during stretches of this game. It felt like they just didn't care about getting the win. And I know it's hard. I'm sure it is. Early in the season, it's just game number 23 out of an 82-game season. I'm sure it's really hard to want to give 110% every possession, every game across an 82-game season. But even still, at points in the fourth quarter where the game was tied up or where they were trailing or leading by just a bucket or two, to see moments and plays where James Harden or Russell Westbrook or even Ben McLemore occasionally jogging back on defense after a missed bucket on the other end. Situations like that, just those types of things are so frustrating to see as somebody who wants to see this team eventually win a title, bring a championship back to Houston. And again, I'm sure all of you feel the same way. Watching this team play without energy is honestly worse. It compounds the losses is what it does. Because I can stomach a loss like the Clippers loss, where you come down to a last-minute shot by Russell Westbrook that may or may not have won you the game. And instead, you lose the game, sure, but you competed. You played hard in that game. You played hard. You were undermanned. You were up against a more talented Clippers squad. And you came down to what would have been a last-second bucket to win the game. That's all you can ask for. That's great basketball right there. Tonight, the Rockets did not play great basketball. They gave up entirely too many opportunities right at the rim, on the three-point line. The defense was just not there. Offensively, the team was, they did their usual thing. I mean, 17 of 50 from the three-point arc, 34%. They were getting to the bucket pretty consistently. Westbrook had himself a game. He really did. Harden's game, for all intents and purposes, even though it's not as incredibly, eye-popping as we're used to, 27 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, a block. He did have 8 turnovers, which was a bit painful to deal with, especially the couple turnovers that he had there in the fourth quarter that kind of killed some momentum and let the Kings get back into things. 3 of 10 from the three-point stripe, 8 of 19 overall. I mean, Harden didn't necessarily have a horrible game. It's just, really, you hang your hat on your defense. And this team, whatever the issue is, wherever the accountability needs to lie, whether it's with Mike D'Antoni as the head coach or with James Harden as the franchise player, whatever it needs to be, we've seen what happens with when this team actually tries. The Miami Heat loss was an embarrassment. And we were firing up this team all over social media. And then sure enough, they went on an 8-game winning streak. And a lot of that winning streak was because they were playing some of the best defense in the NBA. Now, did they play a lot of high-quality opponents across that streak? No, but even the worst NBA teams are still good basketball clubs, good basketball teams that are capable of putting up a decent number of points. You still have to play good defense against those squads. And all of that just comes from energy. It comes from just wanting to play in these games. And just the body language from James Harden across some of the other guys didn't look like they cared about this game. Again, this team sometimes plays down to the level of their opponent or up to the level of their opponent, which is a blessing and a curse. Because it means when the Miami Heats or the Dallas Mavericks or the down the line, the LA Lakers of the world come into Houston to play, it means we're going to get a good game. Ideally, we're going to get a competitive game and it's not going to be a blowout. But it also means that when the Kings and the Pelicans and the Hawks of the league walk into the Toyota Center, we're going to get a competitive game because they're going to kind of have this mentality that they're supposed to win these games. And that's not great. It really isn't. And it's a flawed mentality. And again, whether this comes more from Mike D'Antoni and how he has this hands-off coaching method and really empowers his players to make their own decisions, or whether this comes from James Harden as the leader of the team, as the best player on the team, with his mentality and his attitude towards the game of kind of a relaxed, things will fix themselves, things will work themselves out, don't have to give it my all the time, I can just turn it on when I need to. Maybe it's that mentality that's bleeding over to the rest of the team. But something has to change. Because right now, this team does not look like a championship-caliber team. It just doesn't. And I don't think it's so much a personnel issue. You're still missing maybe arguably one piece, sure. But the guys that you have playing right now are capable of preventing the Kings from scoring 119 points. I'm sorry, it's the Kings. They shot a ridiculous 44% from behind the arc, 45% inside, just they were getting whatever they wanted. And there was no point really, except for maybe a stretch there in the second quarter where you were getting consistent stops. There was a period maybe in the fourth after playing pretty horrid defense for chunks of the fourth. There was a sequence where the Kings did miss a handful of shots, and that's when the Rockets kind of got back into it. But overall, the Kings missed those shots because they just missed them. It's not because the Rockets were playing stellar defense on those possessions. They just lucked out. We'll talk more about this game. We'll talk about Westbrook and his all-around phenomenal performance and how it was regrettably wasted in a loss. And we'll get to all that in just a second. But first, a quick word from Spotify. If you're a Spotify listener or Spotify user at all, and you want to show us your Spotify Wrapped, which is your top podcast for the year, just take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live, as well as at Locked On Rockets, at JT Gatlin, and of course, throw Ben in there, at Ben DuBose, since he did the podcast for most of the year. Tag us all on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. And we are back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Regrettably discussing the Rockets' 119-118 loss against the Sacramento Kings, the crushing last-second three-point shot by Bielitsa. Immediately after the heroics of Russell Westbrook throughout that fourth quarter, and we are talking heroics because he very much kept the Rockets in this game throughout that fourth quarter. Really throughout the game, he kept them in, but in that fourth quarter, Russell Westbrook was phenomenal. His last few sets of possessions made a driving layup from James Harden, made the score 108-107, comes back down, makes another driving layup. Harden assisted that one as well. Score is 110 all. Barnes makes the 23-foot three-pointer with Westbrook having a hand directly in his face. It was a well-contested shot. Kings lead 113-110. Then Westbrook comes back down and answers with a three of his very own. 113 all. McLemore makes a three off of a wonderful assist by Westbrook where you thought for a second he was going to go for another three. Really looked like he was going to take that shot. He passed up on an okay shot to get a great shot from Ben McLemore. Buddy Hield makes another three-pointer, 116 all. Westbrook drives it in, makes what would have been the game-winning layup, 118-116, with 1 second left on the shot clock. And then we all know how it played out after that. But seriously, if there's a silver lining from this game, it's that Russell Westbrook continues to look more comfortable in a Rockets jersey, that he is picking and choosing his spots, that his decision-making is getting better and better, and you know, maybe we're going to go back and look at this in a week from now and his decision-making will regress. Maybe he'll go back to shooting the mid-range jumpers that we don't want him to take. Maybe he'll go back to settling for shots rather than being aggressive. But I'm hopeful that that's not the case. I'm hopeful that his reluctance to drive in the earlier part of the season or his inability maybe at times to drive was more of an after effect of the off-season knee scope where he was just trying to take things a bit more carefully, kind of riding on the coattails, so to speak, of James Harden at times and settling for things like the threes and the mid-range jump shots and things of that nature, shots that don't really require him to expend as much of himself. Because if you're in Russell Westbrook's shoes, worst case scenario is you blow a tire early in the season and then you don't even get to see how this experiment plays out between you and your good friend James Harden. So maybe he was being a bit conservative in the earlier part of the season, not looking to drive as much, not wanting to take the toll on his body early on. And instead now he's seeing that he can be of use and that he can take over these games. I mean, we saw it very first game of the season against the Milwaukee Bucks. We saw Westbrook lead the charge in the fourth quarter, and we saw it again in the game against the Kings. We saw it against the, oh goodness, who did they play on Saturday? Against the Suns, there we go. Drew a complete blank for a second. So we've seen it a handful of times, and I'm still hopeful that we'll see it continue to grow as we move forward, Westbrook picking and choosing his spots. And the one area that we noticed during the game on Twitter, Alikan Bijani of The Athletic pointed it out as I was getting ready to point it out, was the wrinkle where Westbrook caught the ball in the corner. And the Rockets usually use this wrinkle for a three-point shot from P.J. Tucker more often than not, or sometimes it's another shooter, but usually it's P.J., where they set a flare screen where one of the other Rockets players gets in front of the corner three-point shooter's defender and just sets a quick little screen to free up the shooter in the corner for a quick three-point shot. This play was used, but for Russell Westbrook to then have a completely wide-open driving lane to the basket. And these are the wrinkles and plays that you can use to still make things work with Westbrook on the court, but not in the role of a shooter. Because at the end of the day, doesn't matter how wide open a shot is from Russell Westbrook, even if he's just shooting his career average from three, which he's not right now, even if he was shooting his career average, that's still only a 30% shot. Right now, it's a 22% shot. So wide open threes, just at this point, they shouldn't be taken. Drive the ball in. Get a higher percentage shot at the rim. And that's exactly what happened in that moment. And maybe that's a wrinkle that we'll see a bit more of, where you plant Westbrook in the corner, and rather than having him in one of the slots where then his defender can sag off of him quite a bit more and easily double-team James Harden, handling the ball at the top of the key, something of that nature, we'll see Westbrook being parked more and more in the corner where a defender, even if a defender did leave him, then he gets a clear-cut driving lane straight to the basket. I mean, we're talking one, maybe two dribbles from Westbrook, and then he takes his two steps, and then he's right there at the cup. That's a nice dynamic to have. And this team is still working things out, is still figuring things out. For all the defensive woes that they've struggled with, they do still have to work things out offensively as well. Nothing is going to be perfect with this imperfect fit of Russell Westbrook. And not to mention, again, you're still missing Eric Gordon, who is arguably at times your third best player, who is definitely an X factor. Now, does Eric Gordon suddenly boost your defense to a non-laughable NBA level? No, it doesn't. But does he give you a more consistent player on offense and a guy who is at times a plus defender and a guy who knows the system and understands where the communication is supposed to occur, a guy who's been a huge part of this team for the last 3 years? Absolutely. Getting Eric Gordon back, as far as chemistry is concerned, and getting him on the same page as Russell Westbrook and getting these guys to mesh together even more on the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be huge. So getting Eric Gordon back is big, but that doesn't fix the problem at hand, which is the Rockets' lackluster interest in playing against some of the teams in this league. It's like they're looking at their calendars and like, oh, not a top 10 team? Okay, we'll just kind of phone it in a little bit and hopefully we'll eke out the win. Again, James Harden was very lethargic through a lot of this game, very low energy from him. And not only him, you know, Daniel House did not look particularly great in this game. You're missing Tyson Chandler due to illness. Again, many of the Rockets have gone through a flu bug as of late. First, it was Clint Capella, who was even hospitalized for a day. Then Daniel House, now Tyson Chandler. So maybe you can make the excuse that there's some type of illness running around and James Harden is the next guy who's gotten bit, but he's trying to play through it. I don't buy that, though. I don't think that this is the James Harden flu game, so to speak. It didn't look like they were interested in the game. And fixing that is just a matter of getting your guys invested. And that ultimately falls on Coach Mike D'Antoni to get his guys to buy in to the fact that the games early in the season do indeed matter. We learned that in the toughest of ways last season, falling from a 2 seed to a 4 seed just because of a 1-game difference in the standings. We'll talk more about this game in just one moment, so don't go anywhere. All right, and we are back here at Locked On Rockets for the final segment. Now, I will preface this by saying that I did take a 5-10 minute breather between segments 2 and now segment 3, had a little bit of chocolate milk, and I'm in a much better mood. So, I don't want to end this on kind of a Debbie Downer type note. Now, while I do think that a healthy dose of realism is important, and all the points that I addressed in segments 1 and 2 are very valid, I do want to end this with a bit of perspective. Perspective is important. This is a long 82-game season. We are just around the quarterway mark right now, just a smidge past it, in fact. And right now, the only team in the West that is head and shoulders above the rest are the LA Lakers, 21-3. Then you've got the next tier of teams, four of them, the Clippers, Mavericks, Nuggets, and our very own Houston Rockets. Clippers are 18-7, Mavericks are 16-7, Nuggets are 14-7, and the Rockets are 15-8. Then you've got basically the rest of the Western Conference, anybody who's trying to make it into the playoffs. The Utah Jazz, who I will say I called it earlier this season, before the season even started, I said I did not buy the Utah Jazz as serious contenders. Now, granted, the Rockets also haven't played up to our expectations, our lofty expectations, to this point either, and the Jazz could very well turn it around at some point, but I didn't buy into their team, and so far those results are showing. Either way, you've got the Jazz, the Thunder, and the Suns, who are occupying the final three spots in the Western Conference playoff race as we speak. But the Kings are also knocking on the door, so are the T-Wolves. I'm kind of counting out the Spurs and down. I don't think the Spurs get it figured out, don't think the Trailblazers get it figured out, and then the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Warriors, those are all lottery teams. So as far as this perspective goes, you've got the Lakers as Tier 1, Tier 2 you've got Clippers, Mavericks, Nuggets, Rockets, and then Tier 3 you've got everybody else who's actually competing for a spot in the West. That's a decent bracket to be in. And as far as even more perspective on that, the Mavericks and the Nuggets have both recently lost. In fact, the Mavericks just last night lost to this very same Sacramento Kings team. The Nuggets lost, where were they? Tail end of November, they lost against the Sacramento Kings in overtime, 197. So it's not like the Kings are a joke of a team. Now, should the Rockets have beat them? Yes. Did the Rockets beat themselves by allowing so many easy points to the Kings, both at the basket and just wide open three-pointers? Absolutely. Do the Rockets need to tune up their defense? Yes. If they want any chance of contention, they have to figure out what's going on that side of the ball, because the offense will be fine. When you have James Harden and Russell Westbrook, who are on your team, who are averaging the most points between a dynamic duo since Wilt and whoever was Wilt's teammate, 60-something points a game, since they are that explosive offensively and in two very unique ways, you're going to be fine at the end of the day offensively. You will figure out that stuff. Shots will fall. You've got guys, you've got good role players who will make shots. You've got Eric Gordon coming back. He's another lethal offensive weapon. That's not the side of the basketball that matters. You have to get things figured out defensively. But you've still got time. You've still got about three quarters of the season to figure things out. And other teams have bad losses. The Rockets are not the only team with bad losses. The Mavericks have lost to the New York Knicks twice. Twice they've lost to the Knicks. They've also lost to the Kings recently. And early on, game three of the season, they lost to the Portland Trailblazers. The Clippers have lost to Phoenix. They've lost to the Utah Jazz, who are not looking like a great team right now. They've also lost to the Pelicans. They did just recently lose to the Spurs. So, I mean, you've got a handful of bad losses across every single team. The Nuggets have lost four out of their last five games. Now, albeit some of those were against some more quality opponents, the first loss coming against the Kings in overtime, then they lost against the Lakers, then they won against New York, lost at Boston, and lost at Brooklyn. And those were some questionable losses, but all I'm trying to say is it's too early in the season to write this team off completely. And that's what I'm seeing too much of on social media, especially on Twitter. That's the main one, especially for sports heads. Too many people going on Twitter saying this team doesn't have what it takes. This team's not going to make it anywhere. They don't have the right tendencies. They don't have the right, aspirations. They don't behave like a championship team. And a lot of these points are true to a degree. But we need to scale it back a little bit, because these are professional NBA players. They get paid millions upon millions of dollars to play the game of basketball. And the coaches and the organization built around these players to lift them up and support them, also get paid handsomely to sit down and figure out the X's and O's and figure out what exactly needs to change for these losses to not occur. We haven't seen this team go on a bender just yet. That three-game losing streak was a bit concerning, but then they picked it back up. They picked it up, they dusted it off, and they figured things out. Picked up a couple good wins, one against Miami, a dominant win against Atlanta, and then you had the heartbreaker at San Antonio. But then you come back again with a quality win over Toronto. You gut out a win against the Suns, and now you lose again a close game. There are, you look at the Kings game, the Spurs game, and then we'll say the Bucks game, the very first game of the season. There are three games that really, honestly, could have gone either way for this Rockets team. And regrettably, things just didn't break the right way. You had a 65-50 lead over the Bucks in the season opener, and regrettably, that second half was just not great. You're still working at getting Russ involved. Team wasn't quite gelling the way it needed to. Eric Gordon was playing injured, so you lose that game. But you could have very easily won that. You only lost by six points. With all those negative things going on in that game, you only lost by six. Harden had a horrid game in that season opener. Westbrook was your best player across the board. Harden had 14 assists, a team-high 14 assists, but still, you could have very easily won that game. You could have very easily won the Spurs game, and you could have very easily won this game against the Kings. Now, the sad part is, you didn't win those games. Those games will be sitting in the loss column. The Spurs game is not going to get replayed, as was the news from earlier today, where the Rockets' official protest of the game did fall through. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver basically came out and said something to the effect of, while he acknowledges that the bucket should have counted, that the goal should have counted for 2 points, and the referees did not perform their job according to the NBA guidelines, Adam Silver basically said it didn't matter because there was more than enough game time for the Rockets to overcome that mistake. So essentially it boils down to Adam Silver said, yes, the refs messed up, the basket should have counted, but the Rockets had more than enough time for it not to have mattered. And it's really easy to sit here as a Rockets fan and say, well, it did matter because the game was tied at the end of regulation, and had it not been tied, had the Rockets had two more points, they would have won the game. That's the easy way out to me. And while I still expect referees to be better at their jobs, and while I was still very frustrated by that, I was more frustrated by the fact that the Rockets let the Spurs back in. The Spurs are a team that are not even going to make the playoffs this year, and the Rockets had no business losing that game, just like they had no business losing against this Kings team. So while I do want to end on a healthy dose of optimism about this team, because let's face it, this team is too damn talented to not make some noise in the West. They just are. You've got two former MVPs paired up together who are looking to figure things out. And are, again, Westbrook is looking more and more comfortable each and every day that passes in a Rockets jersey. And if we can get this version of Westbrook consistently and then just figure out some semblance of a defense that doesn't give up everything on that side of the basketball, this team has a shot. They do. They really do. They're too talented to not have a shot. And they've been there consistently the last handful of years against the Warriors, and I'm not ready to write them off just yet. That doesn't change the fact that there are serious issues that need to be addressed, but both of those things can be true. This team can be talented and can still have a shot to make noise in the playoffs, and they can also be struggling in the regular season with some questionable losses against teams that they should have no business losing against. I don't have it in front of me because I pulled up all the other schedules of the other teams for that healthy dose of perspective. But I would venture a guess as to say that the championship Warriors teams also had some questionable losses here and there against teams that they had no business losing against. Now, I'm not comparing this iteration of the Houston Rockets to the defending champion Warriors with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, and no. I'm not making that comparison. All I'm saying is that sometimes teams lose basketball games. Sometimes a lucky shot goes in. Sometimes Bielitsa has game-winning shots on back-to-back evenings against two Texas teams. Stuff happens in basketball all the time. The goal is to get yourself into a position where these things don't happen, where you build up a lead and maintain the lead against teams that you're supposed to beat. You take care of business against the teams you're supposed to beat. So that way, when a game breaks in an unfortunate, heartbreaking way, like the Clippers game did, you're not kicking yourself as much. Because again, if you beat the bad teams, the under 500 teams, and then if you go 50-50 against the teams that are actual contenders or maybe even just playoff caliber teams, you'll have a decent record come the end of the season. But it's when you lose games like this, or when you lose the games against the likes of the Spurs, that these losses will come back to haunt you. But again, the Rockets are right there in the mix with the rest of the Western Conference playoff teams, with the exception of the Lakers, who are a bit ahead of everybody right now. But again, they've had a relatively easy schedule, and their schedule doesn't really pick up until about January. So the Rockets just need to rebound from this loss. They need to not let it turn into a losing streak. Just hop right back up on the saddle and take care of business. And that's where I'm going to leave things off for today. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next show, social media is where it's all happening. I'm on there, at JT Gatlin, and of course the show is on there, at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, which can be found always at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, the website, LockedOnRockets.com, and of course our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of these are different ways to consume content about your Houston Rockets, ask me questions about the team, you can make suggestions for the show, place advertising inquiries. Really, it's just a way for you to reach out to me and let me know if there's anything that we can do to improve this experience for you, our listeners. Beyond that, if you would be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, if you could please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes that show up straight in your inbox before they show up on the previously mentioned social media outlets, and then we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping this business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. For this Monday, December 9th episode, this is where we break. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.